We're so honored today to have Chris Montgomery. Chris has been at Fraser Church now since July of 2020. So if you want to put that together and figure when this younger man started to be the lead head pastor over at Fraser, right? He actually moved in April 2020. He and I met through John Ed. But then, of course, we had COVID, and then right in the aftermath of the George Floyd killing, a lot of ministers got to know each other pretty well. And so Chris and I are two of those that we got to. And then some of the older guys got some of the younger ministers in town. They're about amazing, probably 10, maybe a dozen younger ministers have moved to Montgomery in the last couple of years. Chris being one of those, though, that's taken on, as we all know, a very large church and great responsibility. And has, since he's been here, as I think you're well aware, and we prayed for you from our pulpit as well, has led them out of the United Methodist Church and into a more conservative church denomination. And talking to him beforehand, I mean, it's straight down the line. What we want to hear and what's good for Montgomery is a church that is committed to the Word of God first and foremost, is living and active. And so we're just so encouraged by that, Chris. He and his wife, Emily, have one son, Eddie Ray. Chris has been in the ministry now for 20 years, holds a bachelor's degree from Heritage Christian University and a master's and doctorate degree from Memphis Theological Seminary. So, Chris, thanks very much for your time on a busy week to come open the Word for us.
Well, good evening. First thing I want to say is that it is an honor to be here with you in this service. I am so thankful for Claude. He is just a man of wisdom and integrity, and I have just enjoyed getting to know him in what's been a very pressure-packed season of ministry in the world, but also here in Montgomery. I want to say thank you to this church for supporting us as we have been on a journey, as Claude mentioned, moving through our denominational issues. Many of you, if you've been Presbyterian for a while, have gone through those as well. But as Claude said, we're very committed to being a church and a people who clearly stands on God's Word. And we're not going to compromise on that. And so thank you. Thank you for your prayers. And again, it's just an honor to be here today. I would like to read from Matthew 24. The words are in your bulletin. So if you would, please stand with me. Matthew 24, starting in verse 1, says, Jesus left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, but he answered them, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of the coming, of your coming, and of the end of the age. Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this holy moment and this holy space. Lord, I thank you for the worship that has taken place on these grounds for many, many years. And once again, we come to turn our attention back to the journey of your Son and his last days. And so we ask that you and you alone, would you speak to us? Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We pray this in Jesus' good and powerful name. Amen. The title of my message is, I Wish I Could Just Make You Feel Good. I really do. I wish I could just make you today feel good. There's something about being a preacher that, you know, I wish I could just stand up week in and week out and just encourage you and make you feel good about yourself, about life. I wish I could. So much of our commercialized world today is about making us feel good. And again, I wish I could. I wish I could tell you that if you would just give your life to Christ, that everything else in life is just going to fall right into place. And it's going to be so good. So good. But as Jesus is on his journey to the cross here, he paints a different picture for his disciples. Oh, don't get me wrong. There's hope. And the hope is strong. But it's not just a feel-good message. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, I believe, is what if there is a higher calling in life beyond the emotional satisfaction that we get from instant gratification in those moments in time in which we just feel good? As Jesus's persecution was escalating, and it's going to escalate all the way, as you know, to crucifixion, he looks intently into the eyes of his disciples. And as he looks at them, he speaks profound words that will compel them into the future. They're asking questions about the future, sure. But what Jesus tells them is going to propel them, compel them into the future. And it's a future of what faithfulness looks like, not what will just make them feel good. So he says to them, as they're asking these questions, questions that you and I ask, when is this going to happen? What will be the sign? When is the end going to happen? These are normal questions that we have, sure. But Jesus looks at them and he says six things to them in this text that I'll point out. The first thing he says to them is, don't be led astray. Don't be led astray. We see it in verses 4 and 5. Jesus answered them while they're asking about when, what. It says that Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. He said, this is going to be a reality. He says, but see that this is not so with you. So the first thing he says is, do not be led astray. The second thing he says is, do not be alarmed. We see it in verse 6 and following. He says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. See it. See to it. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. The first thing he says is, do not be led astray. Second thing, do not be alarmed. Third thing he says is, you have to endure. You must endure. You must persevere. Verse 9, he says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation. He's not making them feel real good right there. And then it gets worse. And they're going to put you to death. He's saying this is going to be a reality of the last days. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then not only that, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets they're going to arise and they're going to lead many people astray. And lawlessness is going to increase. The love of many is going to grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. He says you have to endure. You have to keep going. Do not be led astray. Do not be alarmed. Endure. And then he says, proclaim the gospel. It's in verse 14. He says, and this gospel will be proclaimed. It will be. And that's a part of your job. He's looking at his disciples saying, this is a part of your job. This is what you're called to. This is a part of faithfulness. Proclaim the gospel. But then he says, number five, the gospel is going to be proclaimed to the nations. He says it's going to be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the last thing he says is the end will come. It will come. Now, if we just approach our faith and if we just approach Holy Week based on our feelings, what makes us feel good, we're going to make some different choices about how we move on from Holy Week. The first thing Jesus tells them is, do not be led astray. And what he's telling them is, there will be things that will feel right, but they're not true. They're not true. And then he says, do not be alarmed. He says, there are going to be things that are going to make you feel fear, but you don't have to give in to them. You don't have to give in to that fear. He says you have to endure. He's saying there's going to be things that make you feel like giving up. But you don't have to. You can endure by the power of his spirit that lives in us. He says proclaim the gospel. He says there's going to be times when you feel like you have to soften it a little bit for people. Make it a little bit more palatable for people so that they'll like it. And they'll like you. He says don't do it. Just proclaim it. Be the herald. He says, not only that, it's going to go to all nations. I know, he's saying, there's going to be times when you feel like you just want to stay close to home because it feels a little safer. He says, don't give in. The message is for the whole world. And he says, then the end's going to come. He says, I know there's going to be times when you feel like it'll never happen. But it will. One day it will. What Jesus is laying out here is a pathway of faithfulness for us in the last days. And regardless of your eschatology, what you believe about how it's all going to play out at the end, regardless of that, Jesus tells us that in the last days, our challenge will be, will we live our life faithful or on our feelings? Faithful or based off what we feel? I believe this is so relevant today because we have a whole world around us that everything runs off the currency of feelings. But what if? What if the calling of Christ on my life and your life is to so much more than fleeting feelings that can be real because we feel them? But not true. I believe that's the higher calling. And on Holy Week, as Jesus is headed to the cross, in these last moments, he's getting his disciples' attention and he's saying, this matters. It matters. What you say in your last days matter. And he says, this matters. And he's calling them to faithfulness. And he's calling you, and he's calling me. And my prayer is that we would be found faithful. So, Lord, would that be so among us? Would you help us in this day, in this time, be found faithful in your sight? And all the feelings that we live with, all the thoughts that we live with, all the emotions of this age, may they be subjected to your power in our life. Lord, we want to be faithful as your Son has called us. Let it be so. Let it be so. In Jesus' good and powerful name, amen.